that's the body of Christ. James 2, 1 to 11. And the two headings are, one, favoritism is incompatible to Christ, and two, appearance can be deceptive. Give you a story that a lady came to me this morning after the meeting, and she said, interesting what you were saying, because she told me a story of Gandhi, that great man of India, and he went to Oxford, and I guess he was in a suit then, he went to a church. He said to his friends, I'm going to see what Christianity is all about. So he goes to a church, and in the forecourt of the church were some gentlemen, and one of them saw him come in, pointed at him and said, we don't have the likes of you in our church. Get annoyed. He turned around and said, if that's Christianity, keep it. Now, I sympathise with him, but where I lose sympathy with him is he's judged the whole of the Christian faith on one man. That is ridiculous. But people are like that. They take Christianity on face value. Erica and I were on holiday once, and we went to a church, and again in the forecourt as I came in, I was wearing a hat. And the gentleman looked at me coming in, and he says, you ain't coming wearing that. First impressions. Wasn't terribly favourable. Our church in London, I say this against myself and for Erica, everyone who came over many years, once they had established themselves in the church, they said two things. They said it was Erica's lovely smiling face and welcome that drew them into the church. And they said all the time, it was Erica, Erica, Erica. And then, of course, because they knew me, they said, but you, John, frighten the life out of me. Inscrutable, you see. So first impressions do count, don't they? Though it's not an excuse. Jesus, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul. Matthew 22, we know that one, but he also gave another commandment, didn't he, which is as great as the first, that you love others as yourself. So God, self, others, because you can't love others if you don't love yourself. And we know the story in Luke 18 of the Pharisee who went into church, and he looked at the tax collector over there, and he said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, like him. And then the tax collector didn't even go to the front, didn't even look up at God, and he just said, me a sinner, beat his breast. And Christ said, whose prayer do you think was heard? Well, I think it was the tax collector, don't you? And it's in Romans 12:3, it says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. And you know, a lot of favoritism and looking down at others comes from an attitude that don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You have a high opinion of yourself. So if I am tempted to look down on anyone, it's actually evidence that my heart is proud and I'm looking down at them, meaning I've elevated myself. And we can't be the other way, they have a lesser opinion of yourself than you ought. And you know, people who are looked down on have a very, very low opinion of themselves. Do you know why? It's because people who have a high opinion of themselves and exalt themselves has encourage them to think that way. So our actions and our attitudes affect other people, whether we like it or not. Not too much on me, but most of my life I was down there. I had no self-esteem, had a low self-esteem, because too many people had told me I was nothing. God got into my life and he said, you know, John, you're everything to me. You know, John, I respect you. You know, John, I don't actually treat you as any different to anyone else. Come up and sup with me. And we are to treat others as we would have them treat us. Partiality is Christless. So if anyone practices partiality, they're none of Christ. It has nothing to do with Christ. What drew me to Christ was his beautiful, tender, and respectful heart. The rich and the poor entered the church, and they were both discriminated against. Do you know that they discriminated against the rich man as much as they did the poor man? Do you know that? They gave the rich man the front of the church and they gave the poor man the back of the church. The church was saying, we want you to feel big about yourself. And by the way, we want you to feel small about yourself, because that is the physical evidence of how the church was actually ministering to them. And in a way, when somebody enters in the church, they're entering into our hearts. So I say that again. When a person enters the church, they are entering our heart. Erica and I were in the Cutty Sark area, Greenwich, and it was Christmas. And we went into the big church there where General Gordon was baptized, and we bought some cards. And the lady who behind the counter, I was buying the cards from, I thank you very much. And as she was going to the till, I looked at her and I thought, the deep intake of breath. This isn't a woman. This is a man dressed as a woman, transvestite. And in those few seconds, I had to come to terms with my heart. I had gone into the church, and my heart was evidence of what I was feeling towards this person. In the end, I had to admit that Jesus would not have rejected that person, and neither should I. But I had to come to a little battle in myself. And it's a case of accepting people. You don't have to accept their sin. And I would go as far as to say that some people who come into the church are sheep in wolves' clothing. We are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as a dove. We're not there to be gullible and to be used by anyone who comes in. No, be sensible, you know. I can tell where a person's coming from very quickly. But you do not reject them on surface. You have to get to feel where they're coming from. But ultimately, you show respect. So they elevated the rich, and they had contempt for the poor. And what they were doing was robbing them both of their true identity and humanity. Shall I say that again? They were robbing the rich man of his humanity and identity, and they were robbing the poor man of his true humanity and identity, because God loves the rich and God loves the poor and everything in the middle. When he saw the rich man, Christ's heart went out to him. And Christ was the one that was sorrowful when he went away, because he wouldn't give his wealth up. And then we have no end of examples of Christ's attitude to those that were downtrodden. He loves them all, and he didn't rob them, and neither should we. And discrimination murders their humanity. And I don't want to murder people. If we have murder in our hearts, eternity is not in us. I've never murdered anyone, haven't we? We murder people by attitudes towards them. We murder their humanity. Everyone was created in the image of God. We have no right to dismiss anyone because they're not of our strata of society or fit into our neat little tidy idea of human behaviour. We have to accept we're in a world, it's fallen, it's full of sinners, and we've got to somehow react to it. And Christ reacted right to it. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Proverbs 22:2. So the Lord made them. And whether I like them or not, the Lord made them. And they have humanity like me. And God expects us to respect that. But of course, partiality dishonors Jesus. And we not only dishonor by the way we treat the rich man, we dishonor him. We dishonor the poor man by the way we treat him, and dishonor those in between by the attitudes that we could have. I hope we haven't. Well, it dishonors Jesus. Do you want to dishonor Jesus? Do you want to grieve Jesus? Do you want to push him aside? Well, we must not practice partiality. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Verse 1. Well, how can we treat him with partiality? We can think that the Lord belongs to me. He's mine. You don't deserve him. You're poor. Go away. He's mine. We don't own Jesus. And partiality, showing other people, is saying Jesus belongs to me. Well, he doesn't belong to you alone. He belongs to everyone who loves his name. He belongs to those that he wants to save. Whether they come to him or not is their affair. But I am, what is it? I desire that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. That is God's desire for everyone. And we have to treat it the same. And a person's true identity is not in what he does or his appearance, but in who they really are in God. And I told this story, I'll tell it again. Erica and I were at a wedding, very, very posh wedding. They took off in a helicopter. I don't go on things like that much, but anyway, because we were leaders, we were there. They put us around a big table, and there was loads of people around it, and I could see what was coming. And I don't play those games, I'm afraid. And they're all barristers, doctors, dentists, nurses, you name it, professional people. Nothing wrong in that, by the way. Nothing wrong in being professional, you know, I forgive you. And it was, what do you do? Yeah, I'm a doctor. Yeah, I'm really up there. And I thought, I know what's coming. They're going to get to me, aren't they? And what do you do? I'd already rehearsed it. I said, I don't understand your question. I eat. I go to the loo.
It's not funny. This is not
funny. Yeah, it made the point, though. Because I am not what I do. I am me. See what I'm saying? And we put people in boxes. And it is dreadful to put people in boxes. Because personally, I couldn't care less what you do. When I get to know a person, I want to know them. Whether they're a barrister or, you know, a road sweeper, not there's anything wrong with either. I'm not interested. I want to know them. And I don't give respect to somebody who happens to have a good position if they don't deserve it. I want them to be honest with me as to who they really are. And if they can't be bothered to do that, fine, go away. And we got to be real with God. He who opposes the poor reproaches his maker. He who honours him has mercy, and it shows mercy to the needy, Proverbs 14 and 31. So we must not oppress the poor. We must not oppress people of any social standing by taking away their humanity. You see, it's who they really are that matters. And Jesus values all very seriously. And Jesus does value everyone very seriously. And today we live, well, it's never been any different since Scrooge's day and beyond that. That the business world, as far as I'm concerned, stinks to high heaven. Because it treats people like cogs. It treats people like buyer's market. People are individual, they're human beings, and they've got feelings, and they're made in the image of God. They are not quantities of money. But that's my point of view. The king will say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you do this to one of these least of my brethren, you do to me, Matthew 25 and 14. And how we treat other people is a direct correlation to our relationship with God. I'm very spiritual. I come to church regularly. I fellowship with God's people. And I know the Bible ever so well, and I have my quiet times every day, and I have wonderful times with the Lord, but there are certain people in the church I have nothing to do with. God is not interested in your quiet times. He's not interested in your Bible knowledge. He's not interested in registering how many times you come to church. What he's noticing is your correlation and value of your relationship to Christ is directly related to the people you're rejecting. Because whatever you do to one of these, the least of my brethren, you do unto me. It's a hard thing, isn't it? And people are difficult, aren't they? You know, every one of us knows if you want the perfect church, keep out of it. And people are difficult, aren't they? The trouble is with church, it's full of broken people. And you don't have to have a broken life to be broken. Once someone said to me once, aren't they nice? I said, there's no such thing as a nice person. The human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only reason that we sit here today redeemed and changing is because of that wonderful redemption work from the cross, which is working in each one of us. But if Christ hadn't come in and redeemed us, every one of us would be as foul as people that we look down on out there. So the Pharisees opposed Jesus' concern for people of every condition, status, and attitude. They opposed him because they had a wrong attitude about themselves. They thought that they were the spiritual ones, but actually they crucified the Lord of glory. They knew all about the Word, but they didn't know the Word who became flesh. And we are to know Jesus in relationship, not just in the Word. I don't care whether you can quote one scripture only or whether you can quote practically every verse in the Bible. It does not matter to God. What matters is what's behind the words you speak. Are they in you? Do you understand the true meaning of them? Are they outworking in our lives? If they're not, it's meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. So as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of God. Galatians 6 and 10. Do good to all men. But why to the household of God? Because how you treat your brethren is how you're going to learn to treat people out there. And if you treat wrongly people who are part of the brethren, you're never going to treat people right out there. You have to learn into the family. You are what you learn in your family. You are what you learn in your body of Christ. And a little girl prayed a prayer, and she said, "Dear God, please make all the bad people good." Isn't that a lovely prayer? It didn't stop there. She then went on to say, "And make all the good people nice." You may be good in Christ, redeemed, but are you nice? Do you have a sensitivity to other people? I'll let you answer that one. Appearances are deceptive, aren't they? Like, you don't judge a book by its cover. And men looked at Saul, and they looked at his status and his standing, and we all know about Saul, and but God saw David's heart at 1 Samuel 16 and 7. And God doesn't look on the outward, he looks on the heart, doesn't he? And so it is in people who come into the church. He's not looking at their appearance, he's looking at their heart. And when we sit in the pews, he ain't looking at how we're dressed, he's looking at our heart. And we have got to somehow get into us the same attitude that Christ had. Yes, that's right. A quote from Orson Welles. When you are down and out, something always turns up. Usually the nose of your friend. And Hollywood, everyone, I've been to Beverly Hills and all those places, hated it. You have your big mansions. Nothing wrong in that. But you know, when one of them drops from grace and they no longer get the films and they lose their money, do you know what? All their friends desert them because they're no longer part of that rich set. And that's what Orson Welles is really talking about. And there was a time in my life I was in a church. Eventually it did go off. And most of them weren't there when I was in the gutter. I worshipped with them. Ooh, lovely Lord Jesus. Ooh, we love you. And when I was in the gutter, I could mention two that actually had any help to me. Where were the others? They weren't there. We've got to be careful that we don't have a religiosity that has no connection with reality. And reality sets in, that is when the rubber hits the road. And I remember taking a man, Arthur Baldwin, he's dead now, and I was sitting in a church. I'm not pointing at me, by the way. I'm just giving it as an example because it's scripture without example is meaningless. And I was in a meeting, worshipping God, you know, all the gifts, you know, hallelujah. There was a smell behind me. And it was urine, excretia, and sweat all mingled together and bad breath. And his feet stank like you've never seen it. And after the meeting, I talked to him. I was only a year old in the Lord, so I was quite naive. And I took Arthur back to my flat and took him downtown, bought him underwear, socks, shoes, suits, and then he went and had a bath. Different, new Arthur. 2 weeks, he was back in the gutter. Two things out of that. One is where a person's heart is where they're going to dwell. He was already in the gutter. He had no intentions of coming out the gutter, and he went back to where he belonged, where his heart was. But my point is, I did try to show him the love of God. It didn't work, but I did try to show him the love of God. It was revolting. And that is weird. It's an extreme example, but are we prepared to get our hands dirty? Are we prepared to put ourselves out? Billy Graham, pointing out to America, says we are the greatest givers in all the world, but there's one spot in our giving. It's all money, but where's us? What do we give of ourselves? We just throw money at it. That is not us. Reaction discloses who we really are. Have you not shown partiality amongst yourselves and become judges of, with evil thoughts, is verse 4. So you've shown, now I reckon that James is talking from reality. He's having this wonderful church, the Acts actually, all the gifts were in operation and they were seeing miracles and all the rest of it. And yet James is talking from experience. There we are, we're all gathered together, worshipping, and he saw them do it. An old man, poor man, comes in, and they show him the back of the church. And then rich men come in, and they give him the front. And he's saying, where's your logic? He says, the rich man who's in the world actually oppresses you. He charges you too much rent. He kicks you out if you can't pay it. He steals widows' houses. He oppresses you at work. He lives like a blinking lord while you go hungry. And you're showing him partiality. And a poor man comes in and you show him the back. Where's your Christianity, he's saying. Where's your Jesus? What Jesus are you worshipping? Because if we show partiality to anyone, it's nothing to do with Jesus. And I want to stay friends with Jesus, don't you? I still want Jesus to think, I like being with you, John. And if I started showing partiality, Jesus would say, excuse me, John, I'm not quite sure I want to stand too close to you at the moment because you're misrepresenting me. Because that person I love as much as you. So let us get it into us Jesus frequents both worlds. He frequents our world and he frequents the world of that transvestite I bought cards off. Yes, he does, actually. It says in Psalm 139:8, if you, anyone, make their bed in hell, I'm there. If you make it in the deepest sea, I'm there. If you make it in heaven, I'm there. Because the Spirit of God is everywhere. He beholds both the good, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding both the good and the bad. And God is everywhere, and he's in everyone's life. That is, he's aware of everyone's life. And he is working to bring them to Christ. Whether they actually want and respond to it is their affair. But that's the nature of God. He wants people to come to faith in Christ. So the last thing, if we dismiss anyone, well, it's not the second, the last thing, if we dismiss anyone simply because the world isn't, our world isn't their world isn't our world, shows we are shallow. And I don't want to be a shallow person who just moves on a shallow plane. I want to go deeper with Christ, which means I have to die to self, really. And if the ignorant, the smelly, and the dirty, and the perverse come into my domain, I want to act right before them. And let's get this. Your initial reaction isn't wrong. It's the second reaction that's wrong. I was taken aback. I had to take a deep breath. And quite frankly, it revolts me. I just find it too much. But then I had to step forward and embrace their humanity and their identity, which is in the image of God, and say, what would Christ have done? He would not have stepped back, he would have stepped forward. And we've got to do the same. Well, not got to, there's no shoulds in the kingdom, but I hope that our hearts allow us to do that. Then, lastly, have the mind of Jesus. Lord, look not only to your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Philippians 2:1-7. And our attitude to others reflect a lot about our depth of heart and our walk with Jesus. And you can't get away from it. Your attitude to others reflects the depth of your heart. And your attitude to Jesus is reflected in your heart. And how you react is a direct correlation to your relationship with God. As I said, your first reaction is not wrong. But your second one is, I could have recoiled, walked back, and then walked away. I'm not buying cards. I'm having nothing to do with you. I'm going. That would have said to God, I've got a too high opinion of myself than I ought. I've forgotten that he forgave me of my sin. Who am I to judge another? Right? And it's misrepresenting Christ. I'm dragging his name in the mud as far as that person's concerned. Or I do the other thing, have a step back. I've reacted wrongly, that's fine. I need time to think about it. Lord, help me in this situation, and then walk forward. Now, I didn't have time to talk to them in the sense of, you know, getting to know them. But had I had the chance, I'd be more than happy to take them for a coffee. Erica has two homosexuals, and I'd heard about them. I'm not knocking them. They're lovely people. Do you know, I actually like them. And the first time I met them was at a meal. And do you know what he did? He turned to his partner and kissed him, mouth to mouth, hugging him. It repulses me. But do you know what I saw? He really did love him. Where's love come from? Upstairs. I'm not saying it's right. And we are very good friends with them now. One died, bless him. So let's get real. We are in a real world. And the more we want to embrace society, Britain is becoming more and more disturbed, more and more maladjusted people, mentally disturbed people, because we dump God. And if we're going to win people, these are the sort of people we're going to get in the church. And it's a messy church, a dirty church. If we don't want a messy and a dirty church and a challenging church, keep the world out. A lady, I'll finish on this story. A lady goes to Spurgeon. We all love Spurgeon, don't we? I personally find his sermons too wordy. Very good. I know where he's buried as well. But he finished his message at the Metropolitan Tabernacle that could get hundreds and hundreds. And he's in the foyer and he's smoking, I think, cigars. A lady comes up and says, "Mr. Spurgeon, you're smoking." "Judge and jury." And he looked at her and said, "Madam, pray, this is my sin. What is yours?" Right, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage. And Lord, we want to be people who are real. We're not wanting to be a load of holy joes and easily gullible and taken in by all and sundry. No, we're to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And we'll walk before you with that discernment. But Lord, as people come in that, you know, are problematic, may we have that heart of Jesus that doesn't automatically favour one above another or show partiality over one to another, but we have that heart of Jesus that was able to perceive where a person was and treat them accordingly. And even those that rejected you, you never judged. You may have looked on in sadness, but you never judged them. That is to come at the great white throne judgment. So, Lord, make us people who have open, sensitive hearts, the same heart that was in Jesus, be in us. Amen.